and I will say it, and this will be the last time for this cycle. Turn with me, if you will, to the last Torah portion in the book of Devarim, the last Torah portion in the entirety of the Torah, for that matter. Begins in chapter 33 of Deuteronomy, and it starts with the words, "And this is the blessing." And in Hebrew, that's Vezot HaBraka. This is the blessing wherewith Moshe, the man of Elohim, Ish Ha Elohim, blessed the B'nai Israel, the children of Israel, before his death. And he said, Yahuwah came from Sinai, and he rose from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came from the myriads holy, and at his right hand was a fiery Torah unto them. Yea, he loves the peoples, all his holy ones. They are in thy hand. They sit down at thy feet, receiving of thy words. Moshe commanded us, he says, a Torah, an inheritance of the congregation of Yaakov. And there was a king in Jeshurun. When the heads of the people were gathered, all the tribes of Israel together. Now, that's kind of interesting. So, you've got to ask the question, there was a king, right? We know that the king doesn't appear until the book of Kings, well, actually, at least into Samuel, and where we start seeing this discussion of the first of the kings, which is Saul, when the people ask for one. But here it says there was a king in Jeshurun when all the tribes of Israel gathered together. And I got to conclude that is a reference to Yah himself and the fact that Moshe was speaking for him here. And here's what he says. Let Reuben live and not die in that his men become few. And this for Judah. And he said, Hear, Yahuwah, the voice of Judah, and bring him in unto his people. His hand shall contend for him, and thou shalt be a help against his adversaries. And then of Levi, he said, Thy Tumim and thy Urim be with thy holy one, whom you did prove at Massah, with whom you did strive at the waters of Meribah, who said of his father and of his mother, I haven't seen him, nor did he acknowledge his brethren, nor knew he his own children, for they have observed your word and kept your covenant. Now, let's pause for just a second here, because there's a couple of interesting things at this point. One, notice anything missing? Right? Normally, it looks like these are going to be in the order of birth. Reuben was the firstborn, and then Judah was the thirdborn, right? Levi, number four. All born to Leah. Who are we missing? Yeah, Shimon, Simeon. He ain't in this list. And it's kind of fascinating. He's just plain not there. And then there's this. We're talking about Levi. They've observed your word and they've kept your covenant. And then it says the following. So again, these are the Levites. We know that Levi is going to be charged with this obligation. Here it is. But it's an interesting phrase. And it also, once again, references both Yaakov by the name that he was given by his mom and then again, by the name that he was given by the Creator. You shall teach Yaakov your ordinances. That word there is, Mishpatim, Mishpateka. And Israel, the other name, your Torah. Isn't that fascinating? Now, I usually like to point out that when we see the name Israel, it oftentimes kind of refers to the more fleshly, more earthy, secular aspects of the sons of the man, the physical sons. And when we see Israel, it tends to refer sometimes to the more spiritual aspects. Notice the difference here. Teach Yaakov your mishpatecha, your mishpatim, plural, but mishpatecha means yours. All right. In other words, teach you the nuts and bolts of his statutes, judgments, commandments, but mishpatim, and then Israel, your instruction. And I think when you put it that way and make sure we understand what the word Torah really means, it's his instruction, the spiritual implications are a lot broader. So Jacob, Yaakov, he gets the nuts and bolts. Israel gets the understanding of his instruction. And they shall put incense before you, meaning Levi again, and whole burnt offering upon your altar. Bless Yahuwah his substance, and accept the work of his hands. Smite through the loins of them that rise up against him, and of them that hate him, that they rise not again. Of Benjamin, he said, the beloved of Yahuwah shall dwell in safety by him. He covers him all the day, and he dwells between his shoulders. Of Joseph, Joseph, he says, blessed of Yahuwah be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew and for the deep that couches beneath, and for the precious things of the fruits of the sun, and for the precious things of the yield of the moons, and for the tops of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the everlasting hills. This is quite a nice blessing. And for the precious things of the earth and all the fullness thereof, and the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. Let this blessing come upon the head of Joseph, and upon the crown of the head of him that is prince among his brethren. Now, this too is interesting. Remember, prophetically, we're going to see that Judah is the line of kings. Yeshua comes through Judah. The lines of the kings of the south all come through Judah. There is that split with the two houses, after which it is one of the two sons of Joseph, that being Ephraim, that ends up being the line of the kings of the north, the later the lost tribes. And as you probably are aware, the Brits today claim descendancy from essentially the tribe of Ephraim and the kingship based on that lineage through Ephraim. So it's interesting here that Joseph, it says, the crown of the head of him that is prince among his brethren. Then it says this, his firstling bullock, majesty is his, and his horns are the horns of the wild ox. With them he shall gore the peoples, all of them, even the ends of the earth, and they are the tens of thousands of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. So there's a reference to his two sons. And of Zebulun, he says, rejoice, Zebulun, in your going out, and Issachar, in your tents. They shall call peoples unto the mountain. There they shall offer sacrifices of Torah obedience, of righteousness, for they shall suck the abundance of the seas and the hidden treasures of the sand. And of Gad, he said, blessed be he that enlarges Gad. He dwells as a lioness and tears the arm, yea, the crown of his head. And he chose a first part for himself, for there a portion of a ruler was reserved. And there came the heads of the people. He executed the righteousness of Yahuwah and his ordinances with Israel. Now that one's kind of interesting. Remember, Gad means troop, or this reference here. And there's an interesting prophecy here that honestly, when I see this, it certainly sounds something not just good, but prophetically interesting. But I can't think of a reference where we've seen anything like that actually fulfilled. All right, of Dan, he says, Dan is a lion's whelp that leaps forth from Bashan. Of Naphtali, he said, oh, Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full with the blessing of Yahuwah, possess thou the sea and the south. Of Asher, he said, blessed be Asher above sons. Let him be the favorite of his brethren. Let him dip his foot in oil. Iron and brass shall be thy bars, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. There is none like unto you, Elohim, O Jeshurun, who rides upon the heaven as thy help, and in his excellency on the skies. The eternal Elohim is a dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he thrust out the enemy from before you, and said, destroy. And Israel dwells in safety, the fountain of Yaakov alone, in a land of corn and wine, yea, his heavens drop with dew. Happy are you. So the root word here is ashrei. Are you, O Israel, who is like unto you? A people saved by Yahuwah, the shield of thy help, and that is the sword of your excellency. And your enemies shall dwindle away before you, and you shall tread upon their high places. And Moshe then went up from the plains of Moab unto Mount Nebo, the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho. So he's going up the mountain. And Yahuwah showed him all of the land, even Gilead, as far as Dan, and all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah, as far as the hinder sea, and the south, and of the plain, even the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. Now, what's interesting here is, this is the last verse that the sages uniformly agree was written by Moshe, and thereafter, there's a question mark. So let me read the last verse, and it says this. And Yahuwah said unto him, meaning Moshe, this is the land which I swore unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Yaakov, saying, I will give it unto your seed. I have caused you to see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there. Now, listen to the next verse. It says, and so Moshe, the servant of Yahuwah, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of Yahuwah. So the question, right? It says, and Moses died. So who wrote the rest of the book? As you might guess, there are a couple of candidates that come to mind, and the two main streams of thought, if you read the Midrash, are, well, maybe it's Joshua, right? Joshua's the one that's going to take over. So here's Moses. He doesn't come back down from the mountain. He's gone. So Joshua writes these last few verses. Well, that's possible. And there's another claim that you'll see as well, and it's basically that Moses wrote it through tears. In other words, that Moses, now knowing that he was not going to live to see what is here, was literally given these words to write down by Yah before he goes up the mountain. So he writes them out, knowing what's going to happen. Then he goes up and he doesn't come back, but the words are already written. So that's what they mean by writing through tears. There's a sadness that he's not going to be able to fulfill what he had hoped to do. But nevertheless, he's going to finish the Torah. So I tend to lean towards the latter one. Can't prove it either way. But as you go through it, at least it's clear that it's being, well, Moses is being talked about in the past tense. So here we go. So Moses, the servant of Yahuwah, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of Yahuwah. And he was buried in the valley in the land of Moab over against Bet Peor. And no man knows of his sepulcher to this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the B'nai Israel, the children of Israel, wept for Moses in the plain of Moab for 30 days. So, eventually it says, the days of weeping in the mourning for Moshe were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of Chacham, wisdom. For Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened, they heard and obeyed him, as did as Yahuwah commanded Moshe. So they were supposed to listen to Joshua. They did. And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like unto Moshe, whom Yahuwah knew face to face. In all the signs and the wonders which Yahuwah sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, to all of his servants, and to all of his land, and in the mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moshe wrought in the sight of Kol Israel. And with that, folks, the Torah portion ends. You know that the standard blessing at the end is Kazakh, Kazakh, Venit, Kazakh. But the other tradition, and I actually like this tradition, and we will go ahead and I'll read at least one more verse, because the idea is our study of Torah is cyclical. We finish, and then we start over, because we never really complete the study of the Torah. So, having finished with Deuteronomy, the tradition is to go right smack and continue, and immediately read, Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim vayet haaretz. In the beginning, created Elohim. Hashamayim, the heavens, vayet, and also created he, Haaretz, the earth. And we know the earth was without form and void. And what we'll do is we'll pick it up and we'll read a bit more of that, of course, as we continue. But I do like the theme that our study of the Torah is a continuing one. We learn a little bit more every time through it. And, well, he continues to reveal himself through his word to us. So that is a great blessing.